This is In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on a Wednesday morning. Coming up later in the hour, we'll hear from Ryan Courtright, Manhattan Fire Department. And we're going to kick things off, though, first talking USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools. They have a meeting tonight, 6:30, which you can view via their Facebook page. Joining me here this morning via phone, we have USD 3-3 Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
It's a pleasure to have you on. We also have Board Member Kristen Brighton joining us by phone. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to have you both on here. I know we're kind of getting into the thick of summer now here with everything going on. There's a lot still going on at the school district. It's a year-round job for you guys, isn't it, Dr. Wade?
Yes, it is, Ed. We've got, like you said, we've got a lot of different things going on now with hiring new staff, training for administrators, just a lot, and of course, moving forward with the construction project and planning for the reopening of schools. So there's, plus this is a time of year where we work on the budget and wrapping up grants and applications for grants for next year. So, you know, we keep busy. It's a little bit different than during the normal school year, but we always have lots of things going on.
Absolutely, you do. And we'll get into the budget discussions here in just a little bit, but I want to start off with a little bit of good news and talk about the announcements we have here. And I know Kristen has some information on donations and grants.
Yeah, we are going to be accepting $5,762.07 worth of donations and grants from the community. They are always greatly appreciated. I can run through those really quickly. We have a $1,000 cash donation from Hy-Vee to Manhattan High School for the art department, a $560 cash donation from Red Brand's 2020 homegrown program to Manhattan High School for the FFA program, a $702.67 cash donation from Theodore Roosevelt Elementary PTO to Theodore Roosevelt Elementary for field trips, a $2,500 cash donation from the University of Kansas Center for Research, Inc. to Special Services for the Supports Planning Project, and a $1,000 cash donation from Scholarship America Equitable Foundation to Manhattan High School for professional development activities. As always, these donations from the community and various organizations are greatly appreciated and put to good use.
Awesome. It's always great to hear that. And, you know, those donations come in handy because especially in times when the budgets are going to be a little tighter, it's nice to see the community can really do some good things for our schools.
Absolutely.
Well, any other special recognitions this evening at the school board meeting?
No, I don't believe we have any special recognitions this evening. I know last board meeting we had a lot of them, and it was great to be able to do, but I don't think there's anything for tonight.
Okay. Oh, very good. Well, moving on to kind of what will be the discussion point here tonight. Before I do that, I know there was a survey sent out recently, and we need to make sure we hit on that. What does that survey entail, Dr. Wade?
Well, Kristen can talk about that as well. She's taken a survey as a parent.
Okay.
I actually took it the second time this morning, so I can talk about it. The district released a survey just this week, really encouraging all parents to take it for each of the children that they had in our district schools this year. We are evaluating how the continuous learning program worked, all the learning that everyone did from home since spring break. We want to get parent feedback on that process. But we also want parent feedback looking ahead at fall, and if we would happen to go into a continuous learning phase again, we want to get some insights and have parents get the opportunity to get input as we work on planning for fall. So it's very important that parents take the time to do that. And the survey is open because they have about 10 more days to do that. Looking forward to seeing those results. We're also working on a similar survey for staff. And so we can get feedback from staff and we can learn about which staff members might have concerns because of their own personal health situations so that we can look at possibly matching up parents and students in the future who have similar situations. Or teachers and students, I mean. Excuse me.
All right. And this is important because obviously there's still a lot of questions we don't have answered yet about what the school year is going to look like. And I know people are really antsy to find out, you know, because we don't like uncertainty. We want to know things immediately here in this 24/7 news world. But I know, Dr. Wade, from what I heard from the last school board meeting, you guys are planning for a number of different circumstances potentially.
We are. We know that, as you said, there's a lot of uncertainty, and what we don't want to do is just take one approach and say that's going to work for everybody, because we know it won't. So, again, going back to the survey, it's very and we've had great response so far to that survey, but that's the kind of thing that's going to help us be able to more individualize as much as possible, that we mean say these groups of individuals have these particular needs, because some of the things that gets into the planning for next year is asking about health safeguards. Are people willing to be involved in parent boot camps to get trained and specific knowledge about use of, let's say, like Canvas, for example, if they need to do something with, if we need to do something with virtual or remote learning. So what we want to do is look at the research that's out there, see what is most applicable to us, see what our needs of our families and staff are, and then match those up so that we can have several different options available that are going to better meet the needs of the families that we're here to serve. Because we know, you know, the continuous learning plan, it served its purpose. It wasn't perfect. We put it together quickly. A lot of families with the whole COVID-19 created real turmoil in their lives. And if we have this occur again in the past, we want to have everything in place that we can to try to minimize those inconveniences for people. So we are looking at the health safeguards, the masks, the sanitizer, the social distancing. How can we utilize technology better? If we're going to utilize technology for certain groups of people, how can we better prepare them for what's in store for them when we do that, and to be able to implement it in a relatively quick amount of time? Because if there is another outbreak, it may not occur, you know, right before school starts. It could occur in September. It could occur some other time. So we have to be ready to be able to respond whenever it does occur. So, you know, I can't give the specifics of what we're going to do, but we are having meetings now with looking at the research, looking at what we would need to be able to do in order to get different scenarios in place. And in particular, if there's something we need to order, you know, just an example, let's say we need sanitizer in bulk. Other people do as well. How do we get in the queue quickly to get the things we need before that August 12th starting of school?
You know, schools are in a unique position, and I know that the topic of masks will probably come up here as these conversations continue. When you have, let's say, you know, younger kids, kindergartners, first graders, who are a little more maybe resistant to doing stuff like that, or even your special needs students, who it may be a challenge for them to wear a mask. How do you weigh that in with these kind of decisions?
Well, yeah, that's a really good example, Brandon, because that is one that we've been talking about between the temperature scans, the face masks, the social distancing. For example, students eating in their classrooms and being spread out as opposed to going in the cafeteria. But that face mask issue, we read and hear about how younger students, some people say everybody should have masks, that they have them on all day long at school. Others are saying for the younger students, it in some ways creates more of a risk because they mess with them. They're always getting their hands up around their mask, around their face, and that's creating more risk. So really what we're going to have to do is make some informed decisions about There's a full continuum of positions we could take. What is the position we're going to take in our school district and why, and explain it to people? And so the mask is a real good example of that. And one of the things in the survey is, you know, asking about the health safeguards. You know, should employees wear masks? Should students wear masks? What's your thought about that?
All right. And I know it's not an easy decision. You're not going to have 100% agreement. I guarantee that.
But, no. But, and what our plan is we're going to be working on this until the guidance from the state comes out approximately July 10th, so that we have what our position is. We can compare it to the state guidance and then make adjustments from there as we need to and still have enough time for the implementation by August 12th. So we know we need to make our decision here, you know, definitely within the next month.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll discuss some of the matters ahead of the school board here this evening. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.